Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled, The Spirit of God Creates Mighty Ones, that is, formidable persons, whose fruit remains. I want to read from Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. As an introduction to our verse 6 reads of Zechariah chapter 4. So he answered and said to me, This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And whenever you hear the term the Lord of hosts, please remember that the word hosts means armies, the Lord of armies. Verse 7, Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. And you will know that the Lord of armies has sent me you. For who has despised the day of small things? These seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. This is a very powerful and poignant words from the book of Zechariah. Zechariah is one of the post-exilic prophets. That is, he prophesied to the people of God after their exile. And so he has a very, very specific and powerful message. Some have called it the Book of Revelation of the Old Testament. Today's show, however, will not be about Zechariah, the mighty one, but Nehemiah. At a later date, we will speak about Zechariah. I wanted to focus on Nehemiah, that is, Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 6. This is the word of the Lord, invisible, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. When we move to Nehemiah, that is Nehemiah chapter 1, I want to also communicate that Ezra, the books of Ezra and Nehemiah have a very powerful picture as well. Ezra is most certainly a mighty one of God. he is an inspiration to me in many ways. And I'm going to read you from Ezra chapter 7, excuse me, verse 10, Ezra 7:10. For Ezra devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord, and to teaching its decrees and laws in this fire. Ezra is most certainly a mighty one. That is a formidable personage raised up by the Spirit of God. Let me read verse 6 to you. Verse 6 reads, this Ezra came up from Babylon. He was a teacher well versed in the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. The king had granted him everything he asked, for the hand of the Lord his God was on him. The name Ezra means help. This man was raised up at a particular time in order to serve the purpose of God. He was raised up by the Spirit of God. He was fashioned by the Spirit of God. This man, moreover, had an incomparable dedication in verse 10 to the study of the Word of God. Ezra understood that one cannot merely read a few verses for a light homily. Ezra understood that the auditors of either prosper or they do not prosper under the altar, that is the speaker. Because the speaker must have a heart that is prepared. He must know the Word of God. He must know his tools. He must know how to study. He must know how to speak, as it were. I'm using a term from the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was told to eat scroll. That is, he was to metabolize. He was to metabolize his message. And so, for speakers today, for teachers today, there must be adequate time to metabolize the contents of the Word of God. There must be time to metabolize the Debar Yahweh. I love the expression Debar Yahweh. Debar is a very powerful term. In Hebrew, it is DBR. The consonants, that is three consonants, but we add the A-bar, D-A-B-A-R, we add the vowels in order to help us to see it better as English teachers. The bar of Yahweh, the Holy Spirit of God, raises up formidable persons. And one of the meanings of the word Debar, when we read, for instance, in the Old Testament, and the word of the Lord came to so-and-so, Debar means event. And, excuse me, Debar also means the unleashing of an event. Debar also means that the person to whom the Word of God has come is now caught up in the reality of of a new event. His life is no longer the same, because now the Debar Yahweh takes precedence. It's very powerful, very vivid, very active, very wonderful term that we cannot merely read and dismiss it into a trite formula. It is expression that speaks about the activity, the dynamic, robust energy of the word of Yahweh, the new event, the new thing that God is doing, that sets the deceiver apart from his contemporary social condition, or what is going on within the culture of the individual who is so called. Please read the book of Amos, how the day Bar Yahweh came to him, and he was called of God to a culture and society that's so compromised itself that it was delusional. And one of the false prophets of that culture told him to leave and to take his message elsewhere. And this false prophet said that the land cannot bear the weight of the prophet's words. That is the power of the word of God. And in Hebrew, the term speaks of the words as pressing down upon the land, and the land could not bear the weight of his words. It is a term that refers to the cubic capacity of a ship. And so, Devar Yahweh was loaded with a cargo of truth and confrontation, and in a man to repent and to give up that which is false of the Spirit of God. Whereas in the book of Ezekiel, we have the Spirit of God gradually retreating from his people, leaving the temple, because they have sold out to carnality. They were gone. They were irretrievable. They would not repent. They had sold their souls. They had collectively sold their souls to that which would never satisfy. They had sold their souls to that which would never bring home. There is nothing artless. There is nothing trite and simplistic about the Word of God. The Word of God, if one is to truly study the Word of God speaks in depth about the human condition. Today, you and I live in a culture in which depression and anxiety are rampant. Today, you and I live in a culture in which anxiety and depression are very serious public health realities. Stressors are compounded upon people at every level. Stress breaks down resolve, stress significantly wounds the mind, the heart, the therefore, it also hurts the physical body. Anxiety and depression are serious public health realities. But where are the answers to this alarming crisis? I pray that God would raise up mighty ones for this culture, who would bring a prophetic word, because precisely what is missing and precisely what is necessary and what is needed is a prophetic word that brings hope and love to this generation, because what is being sown in the hearts of persons today is fear. And so let me say to you this morning that we need to pray together. We need to intercede on behalf of our nation, that is, believing one. We need to come together for real and pray that God would raise up leaders for us about God's church, God's people. We're in a very serious public health crisis. In the book of Ezra, in the book of Nehemiah, which is which follows the book of Ezra in the Old Testament, the theme of Nehemiah is Jesus, our restorer. It is the one who restores. In fact, both Ezra and Nehemiah portray Iesu, Jesus, our restorer. Nehemiah is a mighty one, Nehemiah is about, the book of Nehemiah, I should say, is about visionary leadership. Nehemiah is all about leadership, and leadership means influence, or one who influences people. Leaders must prepare themselves for difficult work, because it won't be his mouth. Leadership is different from management. That is a very different philosophy of man, right? But it is very different. There is no winning without warfare. As one brother has said, there is no opportunity without opposition. There is no victory without vigilance. But whenever the people of God say, "Let us rise and build," the Satan, that is the opposer, says, "Let me arise and oppose." Leaders must have a big vision. And Nehemiah had one through the power of the Spirit of God. Nehemiah's words were, "Through me, God is going to correct the problem that's been around 150 years. So in chapter 1, verse 1, we read the words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Uzza, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. He said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned fire. Now, if you remember, the Babylonian army had done this many years ago. Verse 4, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Remember earlier in our study, I said that I gradually left the temple and removed himself to heaven. Well, the expression God of heaven conveys that reality. The presence of the Spirit of God was no longer in that temple. That temple was raised by the Babylonians. It was raised back completely. It's gone. The old reality was gone. It was taken out. It was no more. And due to the behavior, to the ungodly ways of the people of God. Nehemiah is a very godly man, a man who loves his country, a man who is an able and competent servant. In chapter 1, we learn that he's the cupbearer to the king. And notice what he said. Here, you see something very important, that Nehemiah enjoyed security and prestige as the king's cupbearer. There was no need for him to be concerned about the needs of people hundreds of miles away. There's no need for him. Think about that. He had security. He had a life. But God raised up Nehemiah. He is a man of vision. He is a visionary leader. God is going to use him. Nehemiah is most certainly a formidable person. Today, I know that formidable persons are listening to this podcast. I pray that you will allow the Spirit of God to use you in a mighty way, that your life impacts greatly within your environment. Verse 4, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. Some days I have mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. This is a prayer of a man of action. This is a prayer of a man of compassionate action. He prays to a great God. Verse 5, then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his writ of facade, that is his covenant of love, with those who love him and obey his commands. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer. If you remember in the book of Lamentations, which is a book of funeral dirges, that God said he would not hear their prayer. This book immediately follows the book of Jeremiah, and it is a very aesthetic, a very bad book. and yet there is hope within Lamentations 2. Lamentations means wail or cry aloud. It is a book of funeral dirges of great loss. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servants praying before you day and night. Your servants, the people of Israel. I confess, 1 John 1:9, I confess. Nehemiah repeats that term here. The mighty ones know how to confess. That is to be or to agree with God that they have sinned. I confess the sins we, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly, and this word wickedly is in a Cal active voice, toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. And so the word sins here, it is a failure or a coming short of that aim which God intended all his children to reach. This word implies blameworthiness and is largely used in confession to express a conviction that wrong has been done or God, or man. It is important to remember that in the Old Testament, sin is an action. It is not a fate. Sin is action. In the Old Testament, sin is a definite act, whether thought, word, or deed. It embraces moral evil and idolatry, as well as breach, ceremonial, regulation. I want to say this morning that we live in a time God, Spirit of God, raised up my son for the challenges that are around us, that are about us, that are going on in our world at this time. And there are such persons. Many of their names we will never know until we meet together with him in the clouds, or in clouds. Today is the day of salvation. Paul wrote that now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. We shall continue our discussion of the mighty ones in our next show. My name is Dr. Josiah Richards.